This morning, if you have your Bibles, we'll be in Psalms 100. Psalms 100. David, I believe, is the author of this psalm. I didn't check it out ahead of time. I'm sorry. But I believe David writes this psalm, and this song, as he writes, he talks about this idea of Thanksgiving. It is Thanksgiving week, and we're getting ready for Thanksgiving at our house, which means we're cleaning, whether we like it or not. And you start finding all the dirt and dust that's been sitting there for a while, right? But we're cleaning, we're getting ready. The turkey's been purchased, and he's getting ready to make us happy, happy, happy. And so we're excited for that. But is it just a holiday? Is it just a special time of the year where we gather as family and eat a lot of turkey and eat too much dressing? I don't know about you, but our entire meal is starch, 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 carbs, 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 carbs. Is pretty much our, the only thing it's not is the turkey, and we cover it with dressing or dressing and gravy to make sure that it has carbs, right? So at our house anyway, that's how the menu looks. But it's more than just eating. It's more than just gathering together. And as fun as that is, and I hate to break your heart, but it's even more than the football game that's on Thanksgiving, right? It's more than that. And so this morning as we talk about Thanksgiving, what's the key to Thanksgiving? What's the key to being thankful? What's the key to a thankful heart, a glad heart, a heart of joy? As I thought about that today, I thought about this whole idea of reflection. The key to Thanksgiving is taking time to reflect upon what it is that God has been doing, is doing, and is going to be doing in your life. It's that reflection of thinking back and thinking about, where would my life be without God? What would be happening in my life if it wasn't for his protection? If it wasn't for him slowing down my car for a couple seconds so that other car could speed by that would have hit me and hurt me? What is it that moment when I could have been shocked that he caused me to not reach there and touch that and not get zapped, right? What is it that happened where he intervened on our behalf and what we thought was going to be a devastating moment turned into being a time of thanksgiving and praise? As you reflect and think about it, it's that idea of what has God been doing and what is he going to be doing? Every one of us, if we think about it, it's this idea of knowing whose you are, knowing who paid the price, knowing that God loved you so much that he sent Jesus into this world, into this crazy, chaotic world to not only live a sinless life, but to sacrificially give his life and arise on the third day so that you could have that grace, that mercy, that forgiveness. It's an idea of knowing whose you are. Have you ever had a debt that was just so large that it just consumed you? And you got behind and you couldn't make the payments and you, maybe it's a credit card, maybe it's 10 credit cards, you know, and it's adding up and it's just, after a while, it seemed like the right thing to do. It seemed like putting that groceries on that credit card or buying that Slurpee on the credit card seemed like it made sense until the 35% interest racked up and started to catch you and you couldn't breathe anymore. Or maybe that student loan that seemed like the right thing to do and now 4, 5, 10 years later you're struggling to pay it and it's just overwhelming you and you're just like, what am I going to do? And you're just, ever been there? Don't raise your hand, but have you ever been there? Yeah, and you're in that moment of just, what am I going to do? I have a price, a cost that I can't pay, and I don't know what to do. And someone comes along, a mom, a parent, a friend, maybe a bank that is willing to consolidate your loans. Someone comes along and stops the madness, helps with the madness, and in that moment, they pay the price that you couldn't pay and made it payable, made it livable, made it a way to breathe again. Maybe someone paid the whole thing completely off, and you're just sitting there going, wow. That's how our salvation is. This redemption that we talked about, sang in the song, it's this idea that Jesus paid the price that you couldn't pay. You tried doing better, you tried stopping, you tried changing, and you couldn't do it. And along comes Jesus, and he says, as he puts his arm around you, don't worry about this. I got the tab. I got the bill. I'll take care of it. He pays that price that you couldn't pay, And you stand here today redeemed, bought with a price, owned by God, who created you and made you in his very image. Psalms chapter 107 is another song that talks about and opens up with these words. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." This psalm continues to go on to tell a story of why we should be thankful. It tells a story of several different people groups. One is in a wandering desert wasteland, hungry and thirsty, and his life is fading away. The second one is a person sitting in darkness, utter darkness, a prisoner suffering in chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised his plans for the life. The third person becomes a fool through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their sin and stopped eating in depression and came close to death. And the fourth one was one who was out on the seas and the ships. They saw the works of the Lord and his mighty power in the sea, and yet they reeled and staggered like drunkards that was at their wits' end. All four of these rebelled in their own way. They're all failing, drowning, dying, and then every one of them did something amazing. In verses 6, verse 13, verse 19, and verse 28, they all said the exact same thing. It's probably the chorus to this very song. It says, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress." They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. As I think of Thanksgiving, I think of those moments, those times when things start to just pile up around you and start to get so big and so large, and you're just consumed by what's going on. And it's not until that moment where you cry out in your distress to God and say, "God, will you help me with this?" And he shows up and he takes care of you and he helps you through this moment. Says he provides for you, he takes care of you and frees you, delivers you from that moment of distress. At the very end of that chapter, chapters 107, it says, "But he lifted the needy out of their affliction, increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord." Let those who see it to ponder it and think about the things that the Lord has done. Four different people going through four different situations, all of them hopeless, all of them helpless. And it says that they cried out to the Lord in their distress, and he delivered them. Thanksgiving is about thanking him for the deliverance. Thanking him for when he showed up and got you through and provided for you when you couldn't do it yourself. Whether it's food on the table, whether it's money to pay the bills through your job, maybe it's housing, maybe it's friendships, maybe it's deliverance from relationships, maybe it's deliverance in other areas. The needs are many, and all of us are different and have different needs. But if we're honest with ourselves and reflect upon this question of where would I be without God, we see the answer. We'd be in distress. And we cry out to him, according to Psalms 107, and he hears our cry. I'm so thankful for a God who hears me when I cry. When I was little, I was in a store. Does anybody remember Kings? It used to be Hex and Kings, that department store. Well, when you're 5 or 6 or 7 years old, that store was huge. It now houses like 6, 7, 8 different, maybe more, different companies. But at that time, it was one big, giant store here in town, there in Heath. And I remember I used to run off from my mom. Any of you guys ever do that when you were in the stores? I ran off from my mom, and it was cool to run under the clothing racks and, you know, peek around and pop around. And because, quite honestly, shopping's boring to a 5 or 6 year old. And I was just bebopping around the store, and all of a sudden, I turn around and... where's mom? And nothing looks the same now that I'm lost in this store. And I can't find myself, and I know it's just a store, but I'm freaking out. And I don't know if I started crying, probably did, I don't know. But somehow someone figured out that I was lost, probably because I was crying. And anyway, they took me to the service desk, and they paged over the intercom for Thelma Addy to come find your lost misfit child. And she comes looking for me, and she... But I remember walking through the store crying out, "Mom! Mom!" Mom! You ever do that? Mom! Mommy, mother, mummy, mummy, Lois, mummy, right? And Mom! Some of you got that joke. Mom! Mom, please! Dad, where are you? And in that moment of distress, through a PA system, Thelma, Addie, pick up your child. My mom came and rescued me. And if all of us would be honest, Thanksgiving is about this idea of recognizing and realizing and reflecting upon it. It doesn't matter if you're in your 90s or if you're 10 years old. All of us have stories of where God has showed up and redeemed us, bought us back, lifted us up out of our distress, helped us through the moment. And so Thanksgiving is about that reflection. And to have this thankful heart, how do you have a thankful heart? How do you have a joyous heart? It's to think about what has taken place. I'm not always thankful when I'm eating until I realize that, gee, I didn't used to be able to afford this. I didn't used to be able to have this, right? I mean, I'm really thankful for this. I mean, I remember McDonald's and Wendy's days, and now I get to eat Texas Roadhouse and barbecue, and you know what I mean? I mean, it's not until you think about where he's brought you. Thanks. My front row crew is reminding me. Thanks. Thank you, God, for what you've provided in my life. It's that moment of reflection. And the question I have in your notes there is, where would I be right now if God was not being good to me? Where would I be right now if God was not being good to me? And if we would just take a few seconds and ask that question to every one of you, and you truly was honest with yourself, you're in a much better place when you've cried out to God and he's delivered you from where you were. If you be honest, you're in a much better place because of the goodness of God. We've tried to be good. We try to do the right things so that things go well in our life. But the reality is all of us fail. All of us fall short miserably. At times, I hate to admit it, because I'm never wrong. Any guys here are never wrong? Yeah, I'm not. Brandon, excuse me. By the way, I forgot to say this. For the first time at First Baptist Church Newark is Mr. and Mrs. Brandon Bush. Welcome. We're glad to have them as husband and wife. Yeah, it's been a few weeks since we did their wedding. By the way, is it on YouTube for everybody to see that little wedding clip? Okay. If you want to be a stalker and check out their wedding clip on YouTube, it's amazing. It's just really, really cool. It's got them, and those weren't vows. Those were something you wrote for each other, right? It's really, really cool that she put in this, and the music's playing, and the show's, it's really cool. So welcome. Congratulations. We're glad to have them with us today, husband and wife. You used to Mrs. Bush yet? Are you used to Mrs. Bush yet? No, not at all. She's still Mrs. Hunt. Okay. Where would I be if God wasn't so good to me? Where would I be? Would I have the family and friends that I have if it wasn't for the grace and the goodness of God? Would I have the things that I have in my house? Would I have a roof over my head? Would I have the car that I drive and the job that I have? Would I have the things that I... Would I have those if the goodness of God was not upon my life? And for most of us, if we're honest, we can think about the times where we walked away from God and we recognize the distress that came into our lives. And as we came back to him, we recognize the blessings and the peace that came back into our lives. And most of us, it's kind of like this in our life, where we're up and down on this roller coaster called life. But it's when we draw near to him that we feel that goodness and that presence as he lifts us out of our distress. Where would you be without the goodness of God? For those who maybe are here this morning and they say, you know, Pastor Jim, I'm not even sure there is a God. I hear people talking about it. I think you guys are crazy, quite honestly, Pastor Jim. I'm not even sure there is a God. And maybe you're wrestling with that whole idea, is there a God? I have one question for you. And I asked this last week, where would life be in this world if God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus was removed out of the world? What would it be? And your answer back to me was chaos. Life would be chaotic. It's chaotic enough, is it not? But if you took God completely out of the picture, you're talking total darkness and chaos and craziness and evil in the world. And so my one question for that person who may be here wondering if God is real or not. Do you think all this happens by chance? Do you think that it all just took place by accident? That the electrons flow a certain way on purpose accidentally just happened? That our cells and our bodies recreate and fight off disease all by accident? That the seeds fall into the ground and grow back up all by accident? Do you honestly believe that it all happened by accident? Because here's the thing. I believe that God created and that God did all of this on his own. And I believe that because everything is too orderly to be by accident. You flip on the light switch not even realizing why that it happens. But those electrons that flow and those things that make the lights light, it's not by accident. It's on purpose. And not because some electrician hooked up positive to negative. They hooked that up because someone discovered God created this, and if we harness it, look what can happen. Life is too orderly. Things happen by reason and not by chance. And so if you're sitting here today and you're saying, I don't even know if I believe in God, I would just challenge you in your thinking. Did you honestly believe that it happened by chance? Or maybe the God of the universe, the God that's written and spoken of in his word, the God that I believe in, spoke it into existence. And because of that, there's order. Because of that, things happen in a specific way. Where would I be if God wasn't good to me right now? I think the key to Thanksgiving or having a thankful heart is reflection. Crying out to God for help, and it says redemption in our lives, and our reflecting upon that redemption that gives us this thankfulness. If you have your Bible, Psalms chapter 100. Psalms chapter 100, starting in verses 1 through 5, is another song that the psalmist wrote, David wrote. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. You ever feel awkward doing that? Right? I believe it. As I read that, I know what David is saying. I have those moments under my breath and in my prayer time and maybe when I'm half asleep in my bed thinking about what God has done. I have those moments where I shout and it goes, thank you, Lord. Right? God, you're so good. I'm shouting on the inside. David is painting this picture of shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Verse 3, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Today, as we talk about Thanksgiving and the key to being thankful, the first thing I see when I look at this, I find in verse 3, know that the Lord is God, he is in control. Know that the Lord is God, he is in control. In order for you to truly be thankful, in order for you truly to reflect upon what God is doing in your life, you have to understand this truth. Know that the Lord is God. And when you make that statement that the Lord is God or that God is in control, God is God, when you make that statement, it starts to make everything else fall into place. When you start to understand who is causing the blessings and who is causing the things to happen, and you realize that it's God, God who's in control. He created us in his image. He owns us, and we are his people. It says that we are the sheep of his pasture. And it gives this picture of this great shepherd who is leading us in our life. Shepherds are interesting characters. They are responsible for making sure the sheep don't get hurt. And the sheep are the what? Dumbest animals alive. It's great when a pastor tells me that I'm a sheep. Makes me feel awesome, right? You're a dummy, right? I think the second dumbest animal alive are Cocker Spaniels. We're on our sixth Cocker Spaniel, and Max, he's Max the third. We've had a buff one, a black one, and now this brown one, and I love Max. He is so cool. He is dumber than a rock, right? When the cats are in the room, it's, and he chases them around, he tackles them, and they hate him. They hate his guts. One of them left for 2 days and just wouldn't come back. Went up to the neighbor's house, he fed her and took care of her and chilled out, you know. Didn't want to come back because Max always jumps and attacks this Elsa when she's in the house. Max is just dumb. He'll be sitting there and you're hey, Max, come here. And he'll start walking towards you and all of a sudden something will happen. You know that movie, Squirrel? Squirrel, right? He's just dumb. Sheep are even dumber. And sheep, this picture is this great shepherd watching over us who sheep like to wander off and go their own way. They just kind of do their own thing. And the shepherd has to kind of guide them back to the pasture. If you don't lead them to the grass to eat, they won't eat. If you don't lead them to the brook to drink, they won't drink. They're just not smart. And he says that we're his people. He created us in his image, and we are the sheep of his pasture. He watches over us. So you have this picture of we need to know that he is God, that God is in control, that he is taking care of us. Where would I be in life if God wasn't so good to me? Starts to make more sense when you realize all that God is doing for you, behind the scenes, in front of you, around you. And here's the thing. When we get lost, mommy, daddy, help me, I'm lost, help, And the great shepherd, our heavenly father, comes and finds us, delivers us, and brings us back. It's a crazy picture, isn't it? Yet it's so true. My mom used to call me up, and I was in my late 40s, mid-40s. And she'd say, Jimmy, it's snowing outside. Be careful. And I'm like, Mom, I've raised three children. I've driven to Columbus for 24 years, every single day driving to Columbus. Mom, I got this. I understand. Be careful, Jimmy. Mom and Dad, let me ask you a question. When do you stop becoming Mom and Dad? Never. 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 You always care about your children. You always care. And it doesn't matter how dumb they are. Please, parents, don't look at your child and shake your head. Don't do that. It doesn't matter how dumb they are, you still love them. I was trying to explain to someone the love of our Heavenly Father, and we're talking about it. And I looked at the person and I said, let me ask you a question. What is it that your daughter could do that would be so bad that you would no longer love her? Looks at me, kind of shakes his head and goes, well, nothing. I always love my daughter. Doesn't matter what she does. The gentleman was in his 70s, daughter's in her 50s. What could she do that you would not love her anymore? Nothing. I always love my daughter. Ding, 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 ding. That's about as close of a picture that I can give you of our Heavenly Father. And that doesn't do him justice because his love is even greater than that. Until I became a father myself, I don't know that I truly understood the love of God. I accepted it, and I followed it, and I read his word, and I felt it, I believed it. But once I had that child in my arms, doesn't matter what he does. I was texting Kayla something, and we were talking back and forth, and Seth jumps on the phone and says something stupid to me about something I said. And we're texting back and forth, and I said something about how cool it is to see unconditional love, and Seth says, how come I never saw that as a child? And I had text before that. I had text, love is patient, love is kind. How come I never experienced that as a child? And my response back was, I was extremely patient, otherwise you'd have been dead. right? Until I became a parent, I never understood that kind of love that looks at the child, looks at the things they're doing, and goes, love them anyway. They're over here wandering around, bah, bah, bah. You know, come here, dummy. Come on, right? And you're laughing, but your Heavenly Father's doing the same to you. Come on, come on. We need to know that the Lord is God and that He is in control. Second thing I see when I look at this passage is number two, enter His presence with thanksgiving and praise. Enter His presence with thanksgiving and praise. Verse 4 says, give thanks to Him and praise His holy name. Verse 1 and 2 opens up with this, shout to the Lord. Give Him thanks. Give Him praise. I don't think you can do verse 1 and 2 until after you recognize verse 3. I don't think you can truly worship Him and praise Him till you understand that He is God and in control, and it's Him that's providing the blessings and the goodness in your life. Once you understand that, He says, enter His presence with thanksgiving and praise. Enter His courts, enter His gates. He says, enter His gates with thanksgiving, enter His courts with praise. To you and I, that sounds kind of cool and kind of neat, but to the Jewish people, it was a tabernacle. It was a vision of the tabernacle, and the tabernacle is where the Holy of Holies, where the Lord resided, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and God resided in this area, the Holy of Holies, the place that a priest could go in once a year with a rope tied around his ankle in case he messed up, so they could drag him back out. It's this picture of, if I want to see God, I got to go to this temple, the Holy of Holies, and before I get there, I enter through these gates. There's 12 gates around this temple. And I enter through these gates, and outside courts is where they would have done their singing and their praising Him. And so I'm at this temple, and I'm entering His presence, and I'm thanking Him, and I'm praising Him as I walk into this temple. And when Jesus died, the day that He died, that says the veil in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies to the rest of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Now, we're not talking about a regular curtain that was torn. We're talking about something that was, I believe, as wide as 12 inches thick of material woven together. And God supernaturally ripped it in half, opening up the ability for us in this new covenant to come into the presence of God. As we sang this morning, talking about coming into His presence, Holy Spirit, we come into Your presence. There's this amazing picture of us walking into the presence of God, thanking Him and praising Him for what He's done. This Thanksgiving, when you sit down around the table and you go to eat, take a few seconds and stop as a family and tell each other and tell God how thankful you are. I pray it's not a one-time thing, once-a-year thing where we gather together and woohoo, Pastor Jim said do this, so we're going to do it, whether we like it or not, right? No, it should be a daily thing. I'm blown away. 36 years of marriage, and I still look over at Chardell and go, how did I get so lucky? I'm so thankful to be married to you. You're so beautiful. She goes, oh, thank you. And you know all that mushy stuff, right? But man, it's true. I am so thankful that God brought her into my life and blessed me with her. I am so thankful for my children, even though I make fun of them from the pulpit because it's what preachers do. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for my 5 grandchildren. And the 6th one on the way, yes, I know. Don't forget the one coming. By the way, we find out in what, a month? 13th. What, it's a boy or girl? Ooh. Doesn't matter. I'm going to love it either way, right? So thankful for my grandchildren. So thankful for all that God has blessed me with. Man, it's not a once-a-year thing. It's a all-the-time thing. I will enter His courts. I will enter His presence with thanksgiving and praise. Last thing, we'll close with this thought. Acknowledge the truth of God's goodness. Acknowledge the truth of God's goodness. Verse 5 says, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Acknowledge the truth of God's goodness. How long will God's love last? Forever and ever and ever. Amen. Right? His love endures and lasts forever from generation to generation. It's why as parents we tell our children about the things of God, right? We teach them and we train them up from generation to generation. His love endures forever and ever. We need to acknowledge the truth of God's goodness. So when you're having those moments of reflection, when you're having those moments of thinking about what's happened in my life this past year, Pastor Jim, it's been a terrible year. I've had this happen. I'm sorry. I really am. It stinks. But let me ask a question. Who got you through those moments? What happened in those moments? Did you see the goodness and the grace of God show up when you cried out to him in your distress? He's there waiting, just waiting for the bye, daddy, help me. Just waiting. He's just waiting. God's so good. He's so good to us. So as you leave this place, leave with joy and gladness in your heart because of his goodness. So we get ready to close. Gonna ask Amanda to come. I think I heard Pam. There she is. As they're coming up, Katie, you join them. As they're coming, I asked you in the beginning before we started the message to think of five things to thank God for. And I'll be honest, some of you, when you were praying, could only think of one or two. Maybe you didn't even pray for anything. I'm hoping at the end of this message that now you have thought and there's some things in your life that you can start praising and thanking God for. So once again, as we close, if you'd bow your head and close your eyes, would you think of some things in your life that you are so thankful for, that God has provided for you by his goodness and his faithfulness? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for how you loved us. Father, for those that are here this morning that maybe just starting their spiritual journey and they haven't thought about how good you really are. The world has told them that you're not real. The world has told them that you don't love. The world has told them that you're not good. And Father, maybe they bought into that lie, but now as they start to ponder, now as they start to think, now as they start to realize that there really is a God and he really does love and care for us. Father, I pray you continue to draw that person home to you. You created them in your image, and they are the sheep of your pasture. And Father, you desire for them to be in your midst. You paid the price so they could be redeemed. And so, Father, this morning, continue to draw out their heart. Would you redeem them even now? Father, for us who have been redeemed, that have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior and are so thankful for what you've done, Father, there's several things they're thinking of that they're just praising you and thanking you for. Father, would you receive that praise and that glory and that honor as they just share that with you right now? Father, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you will please stand, we will be singing hymn number 760.